Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
President Donald Trump issued a new memorandum recently regarding the so-called transgender individuals in the military. This is also based on Defense Secretary James Mattis's memorandum that addresses this very issue and raises significant concerns about the matter. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Well, as you know, Holly, last year, President Donald Trump, in August of 2017, issued a memorandum or an executive order banning so-called transgender persons from the armed services. That ultimately is under litigation right now. One of the things that the judge said in one of the cases is that although the president has the authority to do this, there was not enough information or reason given in terms of why it was necessary, which really is baffling to me because from the history of the military until President Obama in 2016, we always had this ban on so-called transgender people in the military. And it was Obama that changed it by executive order. And Trump just simply reversed it back to the way it was.
Well, so there was two courts, right, that blocked the president's proposal.
Yeah, there was a couple of courts that blocked it. Those are still undergoing. However, in the meantime, President Donald Trump went back to the Department of Defense, and Defense Secretary James Mattis issued a memorandum citing, quote, substantial risk to military personnel who seek to change or who question their gender identity. He found that individuals with a history or diagnosis of gender dysphoria presented a risk to military effectiveness and, quote, could undermine readiness, disrupt unit cohesion, and impose an unreasonable burden on the military that is not conducive to military effectiveness and lethality, close quote. That's from the Defense Secretary's memo. And based on that, Donald Trump issued a new policy implementing this new policy, basically reverting in most respects the policy back to where it was before Obama changed it.
You know, and Mattis did his homework. I mean, he got studies that proved his points. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. We figure out, you know, people that are dealing with gender dysphoria are dealing with confusion and mental issues. And so to put them in the military where you need to be focused and of sound mind in order to be prepared to fight an enemy, it doesn't fit. They don't go together. So you're putting both those who are dealing with gender dysphoria and the other military personnel at risk.
Yeah, you are. And you have individuals who are confused about whether they're male or female, or in some bizarre cases, neither or a combination of both. Plus, I mean, it gets very, very strange.
Yeah, plus they were also wanting the taxpayers to pay for those surgeries to change, quote-unquote, their gender. Yeah.
Taxpayer for not only the surgeries, but also the medications leading up to it, and the medications, which would be hormones and other kinds of medications, long after the surgery, if you had surgery.
Exactly. So,
the disruption, the expense, and frankly, having a male in the female locker rooms and barracks, showers, on the battlefield, all of that is confusing. You don't need women or men focusing on anything else other than their mission. And as Mattis put it in his memo, that the military, they have to be effective, they have to be ready, they have to have unit cohesion, and they have to be lethal. I mean, that's what the military is. It's a lethal weapon. It's a lethal machine to protect our freedom.
Right. And just if we've discussed this, you know, with students in school situations, you're still going to have males, whether they think they're female, they're still going to have male hormones and they're still going to be attracted to females, whether they deny it or not. So you're, you know, as a female in the military, I would not want a man in the same showers and locker rooms with me.
Well, and we already have, and we're working with some military personnel now who, under this previous policy, are being forced to use pronouns consistent with how the person wants to be called. So if the person is a male but wants to be identified as a female, And by the way, there's some people, believe it or not, that want to be identified as neither male nor female. So there's another whole series of pronouns.
Right.
These people are going through this training. They would be disciplined for not using these fictitious pronouns.
Right.
And they would be disciplined for not allowing a man to use the woman's shower, for example. Mattis suggested three exceptions to this ban on these individuals in the military. One, he said, if a person diagnosed with gender dysphoria can demonstrate a period of at least 36 months where they no longer suffer from the psychological condition, or two, those diagnosed with gender dysphoria do not seek to quote-unquote transition, that is to receive more hormone drugs or undergo plastic or other surgery, and are deployable, they may serve. And three, those who have already been serving prior to the effective date of the new policy will not be discharged. I think that certainly addresses the issue of the ongoing litigation.
Right. But as it stands right now, the memo says those who may require substantial medical treatment, including through medical drugs or surgery, are disqualified from military service except under certain limited circumstances. So the president has given the defense secretary some authority in that instance. And those who are currently serving in the military may be allowed to stay, but they may be required to serve according to their gender at birth. So I think that's very admirable and sensible.
Yeah, it is. And so, you know, the military is not a social club.
Right.
As Obama tried to use it as a social reengineering institution.
Not an experiment.
It's not an experiment. Yeah. You don't play around with the military. The military has a purpose. It's not a right. You have no right to serve in the military. Many people want to serve, but are disqualified for various reasons, for health reasons, could be for mental or psychological reasons. They could have had an injury. They could have some kind of condition that just simply doesn't permit them to serve, some medical condition. You want men and women who are there, who want to be there, and who are mentally and physically capable and sound of mind and body to be there. Because when they are called upon to defend our liberty, whether domestically or abroad, you want people focused, effective. You want that unit cohesion to be there, and you don't need anything to distract them or to confuse them.
Right. You think of the word troops. That's why they're called troops. It's a cohesive unit, and they all need to be on the same page working and protecting each other. So if you've got some of them running around thinking, I don't know if I'm a man or a woman or whatever, that's not going to be effective.
Yeah. And, you know, and if you're having to walk on eggshells over discipline as to whether
you might offend someone or
use the wrong pronoun, I mean, it just becomes ridiculous. So Obama did this not just with the military, but every place. He wanted to use it as a social re-engineering institution, and the military is the last place you want to experiment like that. And he wanted to push the so-called LGBT agenda, and that's what he did. In the twilight of his presidency, just before the clock struck 12, if you will, in 2016, he changed this policy.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's encouraging to see that President Trump is refocusing the military's mission to emphasize readiness and unit cohesion, and he's not backing down by that, and he's keeping us, our men and women, the ability to defend our freedom.
Well, look, I mean, here's Exhibit A. You remember Manning, who ultimately released confidential security information? He's someone who was male and went through gender confusion and wants to be identified as a female. And then he also is the person who leaked all this confidential information that puts our men and women in the military at risk. And Obama, just before he left office, pardoned this individual. This is not what you want in the military. I am very pleased with President Donald Trump for taking the lead on this, to make sure that our military is well-equipped, well-funded, has the resources it needs, and to focus the military on its job. We have a great military, and we need to continue to support our men and women in the armed services domestically and abroad. We are thankful to all of those who serve to protect our liberty, those who are currently in the military, and those who have served in the past to protect our liberty. This is a new policy. It's posted on our website, lc.org. The entire memorandum is there. You can download it. Go to lc.org, download this policy. Go to Liberty Counsel's website for more information on this and other issues, and also to support Liberty Counsel with your financial contributions, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.